Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
With David Slack. Morena.
Morena.
It's lovely to have you back in the studio. How's it going?
Oh, good. We were just talking off here about being on the Kepler track last week, and that's a nice way to blow all of the cobwebs out of your brain and figure out what works or not and
recalibrate a little bit.
You don't need in your life anymore.
Wow, that sounds like a really thoughtful walk you went on there, David. We are actually going to talk a little bit about tourism in New Zealand, because I think that has been a very interesting side product of the COVID situation. But we might as well start with the bigger picture, because it has really been a fraught year for the whole world. We've managed to come through it pretty well as a country so far, touch wood. What have been your observations about the political way we've dealt with this as a country?
COVID, man. No. You know, anytime you tried to make it about anything else than COVID in the election, you were doomed. I actually had a conversation with the Prime Minister about this a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, she was saying that she was... It perplexed her that people couldn't see that, and that the media kind of went at it in the old-fashioned way. And she's bloody right, you know. And I think there's a reason for that, and it's a lot to do with ratings, and that is you just want a bit of old-fashioned biff, and so you try and set up this faux contest between the, in this case, the pop-up leader of the opposition and the Prime Minister who's brought you through the pandemic. And tried to turn it into which one of these is going to slug out the other, when in fact the whole issue, and this is what the Prime Minister was talking about, and she's right, was people were feeling really nervous and insecure about what was happening, and they needed reassurance, and they got it, and they wanted reassurance that it would remain there, and that's what they were, above all, that's what they were voting for. I mean, sure, there were other issues in there, but nothing came close to it.
Mm.
And so it was front and centre.
And I mean, moving into next year, it's going to be interesting now that we're starting to have these conversations internationally about vaccines and what that's going to look like. We have several options on the table for New Zealand, and a lot of those are going to be coming in over the next sort of 12 months. It will be a very interesting time. What do you think are going to be some of the key things that the government needs to get right next year in order to keep, I guess, this progress that we've got moving forward?
You do get the sense that there are some people who are invisible through this, and I asked her about that too, and she said that she believes they've got a program that ensures that everybody's taken care of, and if somebody's not, they need to raise their hand. I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially it. And you do get the sense that those bits of the economy, namely entertainment and tourism and the international students, have... suffered and maybe haven't been addressed as well as they could be. But her argument is that there's enough there to take care, and presumably that's how they're going to proceed. I don't want to jump into the other one we want to talk about prematurely, but that's actually, I think it's that tourism bit that I think is the one that we could really be doing something meaningful, and this is the time to be doing it, and that's what I'd like to be seeing happening next year in particular. A lot of what's happening with the economy is tracking, you know, conventionally, and so, you know, you don't necessarily have to do anything remarkable there. You do, of course, have to deal with the goddamn climate crisis.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that the deeds are going to follow the words now.
Yeah.
Because there's a hell of a lot you can do, in particular... maybe we might talk about my other hobby horse, the e-bike transformation, because I think that's going to be even larger than people credit it. I think it's got huge possibilities for reducing emissions and making a meaningful, swift change to our emission profile, and that really bloody matters.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about the big tourism elephant in the country, which is that we don't have international tourists. That is a big problem, but also it is pulling, I guess, into focus some of the problems that were perhaps caused by over-tourism or over-tourism of certain parts of the country.
Dead right.
And a specific focus that we have on a particular type of tourists, which, you know, you see it in small towns. There's a, you know, the cruise ship industry, for example, is quite a good, you know, I guess, crucible of that, because you get quick money to certain businesses and then it is actually at the detriment of others as well.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts about this? Because we're going to have to find a way to manage these two things. Eventually, international tourists will be coming back and that will be a really good thing. But how do we manage that?
Yeah, I think we've gone too far without any purpose to it. And you can track that back to John Key becoming Minister of Tourism and saying, essentially, let's pour the concrete without boxing. You know, if 1 million visitors is a year, 4 million would be really, really good, without thinking about what the ramifications might be. And what you're seeing is people just meaninglessly trooping through here. I see it in our seaside village, getting off the cruise ship, getting on the ferry, coming across, coming up one side of the street and down the other with a look on their face that says, when does the fun start? They've got no idea. It's a waste for everybody. And it is, as you say, good for the odd shop that sells tat. But it's, in a larger sense, it's really straining our ecology and you know, our beautiful outdoors. And there's a question about whether it's a great idea to have that many. You know, I wrote in my newsletter in the weekend, I wrote about a different approach you might take, which is to put conservation at the beating heart of the whole design of tourism here, which would be to say, you won't necessarily have as many people as this, and when they do come, you'll actually involve them in our conservation effort to make this whole thing work. So that, you know, we've got this huge problem of this most amazing, amazing wilderness, but it's also being undermined by predators, the stoats and the rats, and just decimating the bird population. And the thing that we had once, you know, when the first Europeans came here, they couldn't believe the racket of the dawn chorus. If we could have that again, if we could have that kind of noise, that kind of experience, that would be something remarkable. And I think you make that a sort of a centrepiece of your conservation effort. This is what we're doing it for, so that we can make this like it was before footprints started imprinting themselves here. And if a tourist comes, you involve them in it. You don't just say, we're going to put you in a helicopter and charge down Milford Sound. We're going to take you up a track and you're going to help us bait these traps. You actually get them right into the experience. You say, do you want to, if you want to big note it, you can sponsor this Kia or this Kaka and you can name it or whatever, you know, like people do with planets or whatever. And what I'm implying by all of that, of course, is you won't have as many jobs in tourism. And what I'm suggesting is instead you put the money, government money, of which there are billions being borrowed right now, and therefore you might borrow a bit more, and put it into jobs in conservation to do this thing. Because predator-free 2050 is going to take a huge amount of resources.
Absolutely.
Those goddamn stoats, they tend a litter and they just go like nut. And, you know, to get on top of that, you need a whole lot of people. And so I mean an actual meaningful job, not just a token one, but the Conservation Corps worked in the 30s in America. It actually transformed things. People had a real sense of purpose in what they were doing as they, you know, remade broken ecosystems. And you could be doing the same thing here. So instead of the soulless goddamn tourist job where you're standing with a clipboard by a bus while people get off with a dull expression on their face, you're out there saving our wilderness. Now, that's the transformation I'm looking for.
And it's not actually, as you say, it's not radical in the sense that there are already, you know, gold standards around the world and in New Zealand as well for making tourism functional like that. I mean, I think that hopefully we will see some moves like that. David, it's been an absolute pleasure. It's always a pleasure to have you in the studio, and it's been great to have you on the show this year. And
we Rachel.
Look forward to doing it all again in 2021.
My pleasure.
Have a wonderful Christmas, and we'll see you soon.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.